don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy, it's time to strain. I'm locked in tight, my brain used to care, but things have changed. I've been walking 40 miles of bad road. The Bible is right, the world is bold. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Some days are too hard to touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't win with a losing. I feel like falling in love with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy and times are strange. Tucked in tight, out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. I just don't show it. You can hurt someone, not even know it. The next 60 seconds could be an eternity. Gonna get low down, gonna fly high. All the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. I'm in love with a woman who don't even appeal to me. Mr. James and Miss Lucy, they jumped in late. I'm not that eager to make that mistake. My people are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
I used to care, but things have changed. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike down here in Arizona land. Your mind is your primary weapon. Today's date is the 23rd of April, 2018. It's a Monday. You're tuned in to Liberty Tree Radio about 6-7 minutes after 8 a.m. Arizona time. We've been covering the parts of about insurgency, laid out some concepts on that. And I have quite a bit of things that I'd like to cover today. We might set that block of instruction off to the side for a little bit, depending on how the information flows today. I would like to say thanks for taking the time to tune in today. I'd like to say thanks for helping support Liberty Tree Radio, keeping the information going. Freedom isn't free. Light bills have to be paid. The bandwidth, connection, internet, computers, mixing boards, things wear out. Gasoline has to be purchased. Wear and tear on vehicles. Quite a bit of things go into getting the lessons out to the listeners. Have quite a bit of border news information. These things are stacking up I still have some back from the 10th, so we're almost 2 weeks out. There were a couple of interesting articles. I might just mention the headlines of them, too, of what's going on. There was a big ambush down in Mexico that the drug cartels and some remote area, there was a police vehicle driving along, and the bad guys, the cartel members, popped out and killed six of them and left them lying dead in the road and went along and shot each one in the head. And then there's a video of it. It's only about 30 seconds long or so, walking around, making noises and kicking them in the head and letting their brains fall out onto the ground. Pretty gruesome. So for those of you that like that stuff, it's on Borderland Beat. And it was just from the other day. I'm not exactly sure. I have a follow-up about the police detained four suspects in the ambush, and that's dated the 21st. So if you go a couple of days before that, the video had been posted, and it's on the one there and the previous one. My email address is altabeeb762@hotmail.com, altabeeb762@hotmail.com. I have an interesting article here that an illegal aliens can sue an employer because they refuse to hire illegal aliens. This is another one of this schizophrenic federal government that they have the E-Verify, and if you get caught employing illegal aliens, you're going to jail. But now the court is another side of the federal government has ruled that if you don't hire an illegal alien, then they can sue you. Another article, too, has to do with the Awan brothers, and we'll get into the who, what, where, but these are some Pakistanis that were here in the United States running some IT stuff and had a lot to do with servers and stuff with the Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, specifically the ones that were on the Intelligence Committee, and backdoors, and taking information, loading it onto flash drives, and getting it to Pakistan to there. But we'll get into that just a bit. This show, every Monday, is dedicated to Lily Grace Antoinette. And the part of about where we started back on the 8th of January, that on the micro effect, I had been kind of looped back around there on Thursday and Friday, have been covering the information for quite a while, and then Jeffrey Bennett asked me to sit in for him for a month or so while he had some business to take care of, so I had stepped in and was doing his time block on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and it just had started of this stuff all about insurgency, the basic presentation. The word insurge, Latin, means to rise up, and the parts and pieces, a definition of insurgency is, and then this opportunity came to be able to present the information here on Liberty Tree Radio, and it was kind of redundant to just cover some of the basic groundwork of insurgency and then turn right around and then do it again. And now I've given that time back to Jeffrey Bennett. We've been going since the 8th of January here on Liberty Tree Radio. And so that's, what, four, almost coming up on 5 months now. So it might be worthwhile to cover that over for the benefit of, to demystify what's going on. Doing a lot of contemplating, thinking, meditating on the direction of where we're going here on your mind as your primary weapon. And the format that I have here, it's kind of like Morse code. I send, you receive. And it's in the form of blocks of instruction. Now, when you go to college, you pay your money, your tuition, you buy the books, and because you have skin in the game, you want to make sure that you pay attention to the information. Now, sometimes I understand that you can have the computer or your telephone on and you can be listening to these blocks of instruction, and it's kind of in the background. Periodically, certain things will be said, and you'll perk up your ears, and then it's back to doing what you're doing. But then we notice that certain parts of the basic presentation of what we're trying to achieve here gets lost off in the minutia, in the weeds, and then people are confused because they don't have a very good understanding of what's trying to be done here. So as I go through the information, thinking of how some of these things are, and also reviewing the other networks, the other shows, and trying to make an honest assessment, after action review. And the same question keeps coming up. And I've been, you know, doing this shortwave deal and listening and calling in and sitting in and et cetera, for, oh, I don't know, for 25, 30 years now. And I keep wondering why it is that for some reason the Patriot movement doesn't seem to go anywhere. Oh, you have your little small victories here and there, but the New World Order marches forward. And it appears to me that, for the most part, that the Patriot movement is just generally on the defense and not on the offense. And expand on those concepts. So generally, like say, not the way we have this set up here, it's I send, you receive. And then there's periodically, once in the past year, a month or so ago, I opened up the telephone to call in to take calls. And so the telephone number here, no, we're not going to do it today, but I'll contact Edward and we'll change it around from the lecture mode into the caller line, etc. But to call into Liberty Tree Radio, the telephone is 712-432-0900. And then the mechanical voice will come on and ask you for the conference line to call in on or the room number. And that's 957-464 and the pound sign. So the entire number is 712-432-0900. And then the access code is 957-464. And the pound sign. And then if you would like to unmute the phone, it's *6 to unmute and *6 to mute back up again. And so going to try this, not this week, but we'll start next week. And to, sometimes people have questions, concerns, clarifications on all this. And some of the other changes, because I've been in contact with some different people, and it's not necessarily that the younger crowd doesn't understand this, that what it is they're just not aware of Liberty Tree Radio or the Micro Effect or other things. And the one person that I had talked to had described it, that we all live in our own bubble or in our own pond, and we're just not aware of the other ponds that are out there. And so there have been a lot of concepts about, well, how do we do to reach out to these, to work together? Because that's one of the deals that I see, is that there's not a whole lot of working together. It's one network attacks another network, one host attacks another host, and nothing is achieved, and we're actually doing the enemy's bidding by divide and conquer, the Marxist dialectic. So I had a listener, and they had contacted Jeffrey Bennett because somehow they couldn't figure out what I was saying when I was saying altabib762@hotmail.com. So I had been got in contact with Ted, tedmidward.info, and he's in his 30s, and one day he was listening to the intelligence report with Mark and Don, and being that I had followed their time frame, had, because he was interested and been doing study in guerrilla warfare. So he had contacted me, and we did an interview a while back. I think it was right towards the end of last month, so about 20 to 30 days ago. And he's posted it there at tedmidward.info, M-I-D-W-A-R-D, tedmidward.info. And he's got about 10 podcasts up there, and the one is entitled Insurgency, Drug Cartels, and Guerrilla Warfare. And so the concept here is about the interview. So what it is Ted has his following, I have my following. And so if we bridge the gap between his listeners, his pond, and my pond, then we can combine and build on getting the information out and expanding. Because this childhood squabbling on the playground is pretty counterproductive. I hear a lot of people that, oh, they don't want to attack Alex Jones, or John Statmiller on RBN will want to attack the micro effect, and I don't know if what the real deal is, but it's doing the enemy's bidding, and it's really counterproductive. So, and being that we only have a limited time, 1 hour a week here on the micro effect, that in a way this is kind of a feeder line to the main broadcast on the micro effect on Thursdays and Fridays. So it's kind of like a flight in an airline that may start, like Pan Am Lockerbie Flight 103 started as a 727 in Germany and then flew to England, where the stuff was transferred from the 727 into a 747, and the passengers were changed to the main flight to go across the Atlantic. So the one hand washes the other, and it's really counterproductive for people. And sometimes I wonder why it is that, and you know, I've heard other people on other networks that they, it's not that they don't discuss the issues, but when they don't discuss what the listener wants to talk about, then somehow they're a sellout, or they're naive, or they're any number of reasons. And again, it's just counterproductive, that once you start to realize what the bigger picture is, and then the this method of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, and nothing changes. Heard, I've also described it as just talking about the dimensions of a septic tank. we all know we're in a septic tank, and I really care less what the water temperature is and how thick the wall is and how big around the pipe is and what company provided the septic tank or the concrete or the trucking company or the banks. Because we've heard it all for 30 years. Heard someone this weekend on another network, and he was on for 2 hours and have the host discussing some of the issues, and then it's the same five or six people. I used to call them the Jew crew, or now I call them the Jew veniles, because all the problems in the world are by the Jews, of course. And you know, I'm not saying that there's parts and pieces of what these people said are true, but to tell you the truth, I've heard the history of being in this country and thrown out in this country and the bankers and the media. I've heard it all for 25 years. I want to hear something I don't know about. And so I kind of really question about these people's motive, whether it's the callers or the hosts that just seem to dwell on this. And is it, what's the deal? And also these flawed concepts about the sovereign citizen, which is an oxymoron, and the stuff about social security cards and putting brackets around the zip code. And, you know, it brought you that news article about Mr. Martinez, an illegal alien from Mexico, that had did some horrible crimes up in Oregon, and he went to jail for 35 years. And I know Mr. Martinez didn't have a Social Security card, and he didn't this or a driver's license that or getting into the corporate in all capital letters. But he's cooling his heels in an Oregon prison for the next 35 years for the crimes he committed. So these flawed concepts about, well, this is how they suck you into the corporate citizenship and this part and that part and everything else part, that it's a flawed design in and of itself. And again, there may be parts and pieces that are valid, but if you're in the United States, whether you're an illegal alien or a citizen or whatever, in the country, on the country, flesh and blood and all these other concepts that these people, you break the law, you're going to jail, period. Also have some interesting information about this Starbucks and who's going to be behind this racial bias trading. And so I also have some information about Bob Miner. So I'll run through a couple of these articles, and I'm sure we're not going to get to all of them. But this first one here is from Yahoo.com, and it's Starbucks is closing stores to conduct racial bias training. In the wake of two black men being senselessly handcuffed by police while waiting for a friend at a Philadelphia Starbucks on April 12th, the coffee giant took to Twitter to apologize. "We regret that our practices and training led to the reprehensible outcome at our Philadelphia store," the company wrote on April 14th. "We're taking immediate action to learn from this and be better." In a one-on-one interview this week on Good Morning America, the company's CEO, Kevin Johnson, expressed his regret about the incident. "I'll say the circumstances surrounding the incident and the outcome at our stores on Thursday were reprehensible," he said. 5 days after the incident, the company made good on its promise to try harder, announcing a plan to close more than 8,000 stores on May 29 in order to conduct racial bias training. In a statement about the decision, the company said the training plans to address implicit bias, promote conscious inclusion, prevent discrimination, and ensure everyone inside a Starbucks store feels safe and welcome. Although the company has not released specifics on what the program itself will entail, it did note that the curriculum will be developed with guidance from several national and local experts. At least two of the organizations mentioned, the NAACP and the Anti-Defamation League, are well versed in implicit bias and training. The latter, and over 100-year-old organization dedicated to helping target communities conducts implicit bias training with major groups such as the FBI. So that's who's going to conduct the training, the ADL and the National All-African Communist Party. Ah, lovely. This next one here is from Judicial Watch, and it's dated the 11th of April, 2018. Court rules illegal aliens can sue over discriminatory employment policy requiring green cards. For the second time in a few years, a federal court has ruled that illegal immigrants can sue American employers that refuse to hire them because they require workers to be U.S. citizens or legal residents, green card holders. The latest blow to the rule of law was delivered by an Obama-appointed federal judge in southern Florida who handed a powerful Open Borders group a huge victory in a case accusing a major U.S. company of discriminating against an illegal immigrant. Though years apart, both lawsuits were filed by the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, MALDEF, a leftist group that specializes in discrimination lawsuits on behalf of illegal immigrants and has Chicago ties to Obama. MALDEF pushes for free college tuition for illegal immigrants and lowering educational standards to accommodate new migrants. Its leadership refers to the U.S. government's immigration enforcement efforts as racist and xenophobic and says it's racist to make English the country's official national language and inhumane to protect the southern border with a fence. Both MALDEF victories have involved plaintiffs who benefit from a special Obama amnesty known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, that shields nearly 800,000 illegal aliens under the age of 31 from deportation. In the recent federal case, a Venezuelan immigrant, David Rodriguez, living in Miami, is suing Consumer Goods Corporation, Procter & Gamble, for refusing to give him a paid internship because he is not a legal resident or citizen of the United States. MALDEF filed the lawsuit last year in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida. Procter & Gamble requires citizenship and immigration status information on its applicants and warns that candidates must be a U.S. citizen or national refugee, asylee, or lawful permanent resident. Rodriguez is neither, and he quickly played the discrimination card after getting nixed as a candidate. In the statement, MALDEF president reminds that work-authorized DACA holders are valuable contributors to our economy and should not have to face arbitrary and biased exclusion from employment, especially by large and sophisticated corporations like Procter and Gamble, etc., etc. That's Judicial Watch, the 11 April 2018. Now, these articles, now like the one of about Starbucks and their racial bias training, I understand that became an international news deal, but we didn't hear anything on the news of about an illegal alien can sue over discriminatory employment policies. And the next one is kind of all tied in here of what I'm trying to discuss here about the parts of when the Democrats bring a lawsuit and sue Donald Trump Inc. and the Russians and WikiLeaks and a bunch of unnamed co-defendants and everything, that seems to gain a lot of traction and focuses it by the Democrats against the Republicans. But, and then I've learned over the years when somebody in the news and all the news, the radio, the TV, the print media, that sits here and goes hyper about something that really doesn't matter, like two people getting arrested for trespassing, and it just goes on and on and on, that there's something else going on that they don't want to talk about. So this was from the Daily Caller, and there's two of them. This first one is from the 2nd of April, and then I have a follow-on and that, I think, is dated on the 18th of April. So it's the dailycaller.com. DCNF reporter Luke Rosiak digs deeper into Ayman Awan IT scandal, and it's not good news for the Democrats. You certainly don't hear an equal amount of news coverage of about this issue about the Democrats, and they drop the ball on background checks and spying and collusion or whatever it is, but they certainly have a lot of time to talk about President Trump and a lot of unnamed co-conspirators. Let's see, Daily Caller News Foundation reporter Luke Rosiak said Democrats exhibited terrible judgment in the wake of the House IT scandal Monday on Fox Business and questioned why they still haven't taken action. The Awan brothers, who worked as IT aides for many Democrat members of Congress, including Florida Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, have been the focus of an investigation into security practices on Capitol Hill. The brothers were not given background checks before being given access to highly sensitive government information, and no explanation has been given as to why. The House policy actually says that background checks are required, but if you delve into the fine print, there's technically a loophole that these members may have been able to invoke that essentially allowed another member just to vouch for them, Rosiak said on Mornings with Maria. Before you turn over the passwords that gives the guys access to all the emails of the members of Congress and every file on their hard drives and all the staffers' hard drives, they just kind of ask a friend, ask a fellow member of Congress and fill out this form. And it turns out that all 44 members who employed Imran Awan, they never ran a background check, he said. If they would have run this background check, it would have found out that not only they had multiple criminal convictions, but $1 million bankruptcy, a dozen lawsuits, and it would have found a whole host of major red flags, and the Democrats didn't do any of these checks, Rosiak said. And as a result, they gave these guys access to everything, and the IG, the Inspector General, determined that they were funneling data off the House network. Rosiak said the entire scandal is becoming a Democrat cover-up as investigators have blocked from looking any deeper into the matter. There's hundreds of thousands of dollars equipment suspected of being stolen, and that's basically what the IG started investigating, and then it found that the data was coming off the network too, and we didn't know exactly what the data was. We know that it had, quote, sensitive file names, according to the IG, and the reason we don't know more was because the House actually blocked investigators from looking at some of the stuff, Rosiak said. It is a cover-up. So that's the end of that one. So this next one, this follow-up, is dated from the 18th of April, dailycaller.com. Pakistani mystery man Awan's father transferred data to Pakistani government, ex-partner claims. Of Faisalabad, Pakistan. The father of Imran Awan, an IT aide to Debbie Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who investigator conclusion made unauthorized access to House servers, transferred a USB drive to a Pakistani senator and former head of Pakistani intelligence agency. The father's ex-business partner, Rashid Minhas, alleged. Minhas told the Daily Caller Educational Foundation that Imran Awan's father, Haji Ashraf Awan, was given data to Pakistan officials Rehman Malik, and that Imran bragged he had the power to change the U.S. president. As for how he knew this, he said that on one occasion in 2008, when a USB was given to Rashid Malik by Imran's father, my brother Abdul Razak was with his father. After Imran's father delivered the USB to Rahman Malik, four Pakistani government intelligence agents were with his father 24 hours on duty to protect him, he said. Minhas did not say what was on the USB. The DCNF traveled to Pakistan for this story and interviewed numerous residents who interacted with Imran, and they confirm that he does travel that country with a contingent of armed Pakistani government officials and routinely brags about mysterious political power. The House Office of Inspector General charged on September 30, 2016, that data was being funneled off the House network, and it's dailycaller.com, and this mile-long House report concludes Pakistanis made unauthorized access to congressional servers by the Awans as recently as September 2016, shortly before the presidential election. Nearly Imran's entire immediate family was on the House payroll working as IT aides as one-fifth of the House Democrats, and he began working for the House in 2004. The Inspector General, Michael Pratsky, testified this month. Systems administrators hold the keys to the kingdom, meaning that they can create accounts, grant access, view, download, update, or delete almost any electronic information within an office. Because of this high-level access, a rogue system administrator could inflict considerable damage. Minhas said Imran Awan said to me directly these words, "See how I control White House on my fingertips." He say he can fire the prime minister, change the U.S. president, Minhas said. Why the claiming big stuff, I don't understand till now. I was Imran's father's partner in Pakistan, Minhas said, in two and deals in Pakistan so big they are often referred to as towns. In 2009, both men were accused of fraud and Hajib was arrested but then released after Imran flew to Pakistan, allegedly exerting pressure on the local police through the ministry as well as the department concerned, according to local news, Dawn.com news, Minhas and multiple alleged victims in Pakistan also told the DCNF Imran exerted political influence in Pakistan to extricate his father from the case. Minhas is now in U.S. federal prison for additional fraud, and the DCNF could not confirm whether Minhas' claims about the USBs are true, but Minhas told the DOJ and the FBI never interviewed him about the Awans, an indicator the potential for espionage may have not been explored extensively. The probe involves money allegedly disappearing to Pakistan, and Minhas was prominently their business partner there. He is also one of many people with past relationship with the Awans who have said they believe they are aggressive opportunists who will do anything for money. And parts of Minhas' story correlate with the observations elsewhere. Haji's wife, Samina Gilali, Imran's stepmother, said in court documents that Imran used his IT skills to wiretap her as a means of exerting pressure on her. Haji would frequently boast that Imran's position gave him political leverage, numerous Pakistani residents told the DCNF. "My son owned White House in D.C., he would say, according to Minhas, "I am kingmaker." Senator Malik is a former intelligence agency who served as director of the Federal Investigative Agency from 1993 to 1996. From 2004 to 2017, he was chief of security for former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. In 2013, he became an advisor to Prime Minister Yousif Gilani and served as interior minister until 2013, a capacity in which he interfaced with then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. He now serves in the Pakistani Senate. Senator Malik denied any relations with the parties allegedly involved, saying, "I am hearing their names for the first time. I am a public and people always do name dropping." Chris Gowan, an attorney for Imran, said Minhas contentions were completely and totally false. House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving banned Awans from the Congressional Network on February 2, 2017 after the IG report alleged that the Awans were making unauthorized access to House servers. They logged in using members of Congress's personal usernames and logged into servers of members for whom they did not work, the IG report said. After some members fired them, they still kept accessing their data and IG presentation charged. Now, the article is 17 pages long, and it's from the Daily Caller, and it's dated the 18th of April, just a couple of days ago. Pakistani mystery man Awan's father transferred data to Pakistan government, ex-partner claims. And the reporter is Luke Rosiak, L-U-K-E-R-O-S-I-A-K. So I just kind of wonder when we can start talking about collusion and spying and dossiers and constantly attacking President Trump and a lawsuit brought by the Democrats against Donald Trump for President.inc and the Russians. And why is it that the news media is going into all these paroxysms of pain and anguish and gnashing of teeth when here you've got the IG report that said these guys were, and there was also something in it, that what had happened is they had their access code and an email address that was well known, but they also had a secret access code that after the one, the publicly known, or the ones that were known by the House, that then they started using this secret email access code type of a deal to even up to the point of when they were actually arrested, trying to leave the brothers split, and then the wife went to Pakistan, and there was something about wiring hundreds of thousands of dollars to bank accounts in Pakistan, and then she came back with the husband because they were wrapping up their business deals and selling houses and stuff, and they were, I think, at Dulles Airport getting ready to split, and that's when they were arrested. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz comes on, and even though these guys were under investigation, they knew what was going on, what the IG had said, but they still kept paying them. Because in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's words that, well, here in America, you're innocent until proven guilty, and they haven't had a trial, so we continued to pay them up to the point of when they were arrested. And nobody's talking about this nonstop, day to day. Nobody's talking about who's going to give this Starbucks training. So that's my story. And I'm sticking with it. Now, this one article here, and I'm not going to go into it too far because it's a much newer article, but it's from InsideCrime.com, April 18th. State of murders in Brazil shines spotlight on militia phenomenon. Now, I noticed that they're careful using of that word there. We'll get into that most likely on Thursday or Friday on Your Mind Is Your Primary Weapon on the micro effect. So think about what I'd said here on this part of about doing the enemy's bidding on, you know, these people want to attack Alex Jones or John Stadmiller or RBN or Genesis, and of course, you can look on the internet and find a YouTube video that comparts of exactly what your biased opinion is, and all we're actually really doing is the enemy's bidding, and it's crabs in a bucket that you get a three or four crabs in a bucket, and one of them climbs up and tries to get it out of the bucket because he doesn't want to end up on the dinner table. And instead of cheering that one on because they're successful, then everybody wants to sit here, and the other crabs down in the bucket reach up with their pincers and grab the other one that's getting out and pull him back into the bucket. So you have one person, Alex Jones, that created a business model and now is successful, and the rest of the crabs in the bucket, all they do is to look at criticizing what's going on. And we're doing the enemy's bidding, and nothing goes anywhere in this patriot movement, because instead of moving forward, all we're doing is circulating in one place and nothing happens. So this is what I'm bringing this information to, and I want to thank Ted for some of the discussions we have, for trying to reach out to other broadcasters to let his pond know about our pond, and so we can all work together and not squabble like school children on the playground and go absolutely nowhere of what's going on. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Now, next week, I'll get with Edward sometime here in the next week, so we can open up this listener line, so you can call 712-432-0900 and then 957-464, the pound sign, and then *6 to unmute, and you can tell me how wrong I am, and I'll tell you how right I am, and nothing will go anywhere, and we'll still, 30 years from now, people will still be pointing fingers and playing crabs in the bucket, and school children squabbling on the playground and attacking each other, and the New World Order will be 30 years further ahead, and we'll still be in the same place, circulating and talking about the Jews and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergs, and given some historical event of about, well, the Jews got kicked out of so-and-so country in 1465, and this has happened and that's happened, and they run the media and they run the banking system and the Federal Reserve, and arguing over the dimensions of the septic tank, and we'll talk of about the Masons and the Mormons and the Pope, and talking about the intricate, minute details down to the chemical composition of the septic tank, and describing it as a molecular level, and talking about the Trilateral Commission Septic Tank Company and the Jews that, with the banks that made the loans for the startup capital, and talking about this and talking about that and blah, 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 blah. Well, Mike, but you got new callers and they need to know what it is. Well, that's what God made archives for, okay? And you have a website, you write up a small picture, a paragraph, you include links in there, and so when somebody calls in and wants to know what it is, refer them to the website, they can click on the link, and we can move forward with today's presentation, and then they can educate themselves. But sitting here, wasting 45 minutes going into minute detail of about what this is and what that is, all that does is just waste a giant amount of valuable airtime. And that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So, as a heads up, when you call in next week to tell me how wrong I am, make sure that you have your facts straight. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to hear you talk about any of the above-mentioned subjects, because I've heard it over and over and over again for 20 or 30 years, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The sovereign citizen, the Social Security card makes you part of the corporation, and the license and the capital letters and the corporate citizen and the brackets around the zip code and blah, 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 etc., etc., etc. Well, if you're all concerned of about, well, why don't you get some information to the illegal alien, Mr. Martinez, that's in a Oregon court or an Oregon prison for the next 35 years and say, well, since you don't have a Social Security card and you don't have a driver's license in all capital letters, well, then you can file a motion with the Court of Appeals and they just have to let you go because they really don't have a reason to detain you because you don't have a driver's license or a Social Security number and chances are he never sent a letter down to Mexico or anything like that. But he had been deported 20 times, and he did some real horrible crimes against women up in Oregon, and he was finally ran to ground. And so once again, for those people that are out here thinking that this illegal alien thing is a border issue, and since I don't live on the border in California and Arizona and New Mexico and Texas, but, you know, Oregon's pretty far away from the southern border. But Mr. Martinez was up there over and over again conducting criminal enterprise and doing some pretty horrible crimes, enough that he got found guilty and sentenced to 35 years in prison. This next news article is cbp.gov/newsroom, 10 April 2018. MS-13 gang member embedded in horde of surrendering migrants, Yuma, Arizona. Yuma Sector Border Patrol agents apprehended a gang member belonging to the Mara Salvatruce 13 gang, along with 60 other subjects, after they illegally crossed into the United States Monday. At approximately 12.05 p.m. Monday, Yuma Station's agents arrested a male, 18-year-old El Salvadoran national, and 60 other subjects, all of whom voluntarily surrendered to agents after the group illegally entered the United States east of San Luis, Arizona port of entry. All 61 subjects were transported to the Yuma station for processing. Agents identified the El Salvadoran as Herberto Giovanni Agureta Chavez. During initial interviews, he falsely claimed to be an unaccompanied juvenile in hopes of being released. Agents continued questioning Agureta Chavez and confirmed that he wasn't in fact an adult. He also admitted to being a member of MS-13, although he claimed he was trying to separate from the gang. Agureta Chavez stated that his intentions in crossing were to get to Los Angeles, California. Agureta Chavez and the 60 other migrants, comprised of one Mexican national and 59 Guatemalan nationals, are being processed for immigration violation, constipation, and defecation. Borderlandbeat.com. 12 April 2018, Ensenada, six executed, banner goes up, signed Cartel de La Rana. In 1997, 20 members of the family were murdered in El Suzuri on the orders of Ramon Arellano Felix during the last years of the CAF's control over Tijuana. Gunmen said to be drunk and high on cocaine descended on a family residence and executed all the members. And this is considered the most savage and brutal killing of its time, making news reports nationally in the United States. The homicide and raid in Tijuana during that time was around 300, which is five times less than what it is now. Now, in the shadow of that former bloody massacre in which children and women were murdered over a family's unpaid debts, the drug politics of Ensenada and the Baja California corridor have spilled over in the new chaotic, frenzied style of violence, which is now commonplace. In the classic red and white style letters often used by CTNG, the Cartel Tijuana New Generation, and the CJNG, the Cartel Jalisco Nueva Generacion in Tijuana, the banner was hung over a vacant lot and leaves a lot of questions in its wake. The banner is roughly translated into "The plaza is now mine, CJNG, CAF, and Cartel de Sinaloa, F your mother from Cartel de La Rena." La Rena, unless there is a new one operating in the Baja region, is Rena Garcia Zorte, the brother of Alfredo Artaguela Arzeta, El Aquiles, who has been in a long run and El Mayo's point man in Tijuana, surviving year after year since 2010 after a 120-ton marijuana seizure in Tijuana, which was a result of a dispute between Jose Soto Gastelum, El Tigre, Aquiles, and El Boxer. Now, there's different numbers of the, you know, there's numbers of about how many people die in war-torn areas and which is the dangerous places of the world. But there's also another set of numbers that is in the deaths per 100,000 in non-war countries. And this year, the new one came out, and it's number one on the list is Tijuana, Mexico, just across the border from San Diego. Number two is Caracas, Venezuela. And number three is Acapulco, Mexico. And once again, I just wonder why it is that we can sit here and waste airtime and talk about President Trump and collusion and the Russians, but we've got these IT Awan brothers, and now we have a lawsuit by the Democrats against the Republicans, and we can hear all about two black guys getting led away from a Starbucks for trespassing, but we don't hear anything of about what's going on in Mexico and the spillover violence. Well, I got the music coming in here. I'll see you Thursday on the Micro Effect. I thank you for being with us today. We'll flesh out some of these other subjects. Later. Well-dressed man waiting on the last plane. Standing in the gallows with my head in the noose. Any minute now, I'm expecting all hell to break loose. People are crazy and times are strange. Locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. Do me any good. I'm in the wrong town. Should be in Hollywood. Just a second there, I thought I saw something. Gonna take dancing lessons to the jitterbug rag. Ain't no shortcuts. Gonna dress in drag. Only a fool in here thinks he's got anything to prove. Lot of water under the bridge, lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, my brain used to care, but things have changed. Walking 40 miles of bad road. The Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from